Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on August 20th, 2021. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce has been serving the community since 1941. It is an association of businesses, other entities, and individuals organized to encourage a strong local economy and quality of life by promoting commerce, sound government, and an informed membership and community.
I'm your host, Joe Terry. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us as co-host, the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Kelly Strohman. Hey, Kelly, how are you today?
Good morning, Joe. I'm fantastic. Happy Friday to everybody. Our favorite day of the week, Friday.
our favorite day.
Friday. Absolutely. Actually, you know, every day kind of is my favorite day. You wake up, you know, you got to seize the day. In my job, you never know what's going to happen. You can have a plan, but then there's always things, you know, that pop up. People that pop in, you know, needs, wants, you know, demands, requests. I have to be very flexible. So every day is a different day, which I like. I like, you know, to be busy. I like action. So Fridays is kind of that pause, and I love doing this podcast with you on Friday. It's a nice kind of way to wrap up the week and look forward to the weekend.
I can't tell you, Kelly, that there are times when we do the podcast when it's just, you know, it's an ordinary kind of event. And then there are other times like that recent podcast we did with the girl who does the cookies.
Yes.
What was her name?
Catherine Jester, CEO of Cat's Cookie Kit.
Every once in a while, we know that not only hits highlights from some kind of, you know, area of business, she is actually part of a huge trend in delivering food to people, you know, kits to make dinners is a huge industry. It was kind of brought on and in by the pandemic, but now I think it's really going to take on a life of its own. People receiving, you know, the ingredients to make a meal, but also the ingredients to make an experience to really sort of enjoy cooking together and making cookies together, and her whole sort of vibe and ethic that she has in her marketing. That really got me going.
Yeah, you must be hungry this morning, thinking of cookies already. Cookies and coffee. Hey, maybe that's the next iteration.
Right.
We talked about, you know, what's next for her. Maybe she can include a little bag of coffee in her cookie cake.
Okay.
Right? That's how it happens,
right?
That's how things happen. I agree. Catherine Jester is a lovely, lovely, very bright, confident young lady, and we were so fortunate to have her in the Young Entrepreneurs Academy this year, but in the last class, the graduating class of 2021.
Yeah.
And Cat's Cookie Kit is already doing well. She will continue to do well. I look forward to seeing, you know, where she goes to college, what program, if she, you know, chooses an entrepreneurial school at one of the, you know, colleges, and what she does. I mean, she also mentioned that she loves math. You know what's funny is some people say, oh, you know, baking is such a science, you know, I'm not good at that. And I guess that's one way to look at it, but I just want to make a statement real quick for anybody who doesn't know this about me. I'm horrible at science. I'm horrible at baking, but I excel. I'm horrible at science and horrible at math, but I'm excellent at baking. That's my passion, is baking. It's my therapy, my passion. I love baking for people. I love, you know, if they walk into my house and they smell it, or just when they bite into whatever it is, like, you know, I'm taking to to them, to a party or anything, or just a surprise. I get a little, lot of joy, but I am horrible at math and science. So, newsflash, everybody, you don't have to be a math or science whiz to be a good baker. So there is hope.
Yeah. You just have to be good at timing.
Correct. And a little bit of a flair and willing to experiment. I'm one of those bakers who never follows a recipe. I throw in a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and, you know, I play around with things, which really messes people up when they ask for my recipe. I'm like, I'll give it to you, but just know that it's never the same. I really love that program, the Young Entrepreneurs Academy. We have so much talent everywhere in the world, but, you know, particularly here in Manhattan Beach in the South Bay, there's so many entrepreneurs, young, older, mid-age, people reinventing themselves, and it's really fun to support that in bright young minds and to help them take their passion and their ideas and develop them. I think that's a lot of fun. Yes. That kind of gives me a really good transition into an event that's happening this weekend. I always love how that happens between us, Joe. There's a really cool event. There's actually many, many, many events happening this weekend, everybody. So listen up, get your pencils, get ready to click on those links. But one of the many events happening, particularly tomorrow, is the first, hopefully annual, or first in the area, Spicy Green Book Food Market. It's going to be held in conjunction with Connecta Federal Credit Union over on Rosecrans in their big parking lot. There are going to be multiple food trucks, all that are a part of Spicy Green Book. And Spicy Green Book is an organization that focuses on Black-owned business restaurant owners and food, you know, type of vendors. And they give back to the community and help provide resources for these Black-owned businesses to, you know, grow their business and what have you. So Spicy Green Book Food Market tomorrow from 12 to 7 p.m. at Connecta on Rosecrans. Here's the kicker. It's free. All you got to do.
It's free.
You don't have to buy one thing. It's free. You can go taste all that delicious food, enjoy some of the entertainment. All you have to do is go on Eventbrite, type in Spicy Green Book, and just register for that free ticket. They're just, you know, obviously trying to do a little crowd control. So super fun, very different event. Also happening this weekend, it's a big, big, big volleyball type of weekend. The annual AVP Manhattan Beach Open is in Manhattan Beach.
Yes.
We had the pier ceremony yesterday. Recognizing the winners of last year, they get their on the the Volleyball Walk of Fame on the Manhattan Beach Pier. Super fun. All the competitive play starts today. You can go on the AVP Manhattan Beach Open website. That event also is free. There is paid, reserved, cabana boxes, all of that. Seating is sold out, I know, but you are welcome to walk up. You are welcome to partake in all the exhibitors and vendors and fun activities. You can even stand on the Manhattan Beach Pier and watch the play. So today through Sunday, AVP Manhattan Beach Open, and our Olympic gold medalists, April Ross and Alex Kleinman, are playing. Super fun. Kim Riley, Riley Arts owner, had a little reception for April Ross And Alex Kleiman yesterday in her store, people could go in, meet the two gold medalists, take a picture and what have you. But if you missed that, scoot on down to AVP and check it out. You can see the schedule of play on their website. But what a great weekend. And don't plan on driving and parking anywhere remotely close to the beach or to the pier. I highly encourage you, you know, park far away and then come in or Uber or something. Parking is always challenged. And on big weekends like this, it's very challenged. So AVP Manhattan Beach Open, don't miss it. Come on down all day for the next 3 days. Okay, so we've got Spicy Green Book you can eat. We've got AVP. We also tomorrow have the annual big fundraiser for our friends over at Walk with Sally, a wonderful organization that raises money for their mentoring program for children and families who have lost a loved one to cancer. Walk with Sally enters their life, pairs them with a mentor, and they carefully pair the mentor and mentee. That mentor steps into the family and the life of the child or the children and helps mentor them through at least high school. I think every single one of them continues mentoring them and being a part of their life into their young adult life. And a wonderful program. So the funds that are raised tomorrow night at the annual White Light, White Night fundraiser are key to funding that organization and providing that much needed support for families who have lost a parent, you know, to cancer. Just a tragic incident that there's, you know, the rainbow at the end is White Light, White Night, and Walk with Sally. The event is sold out, like I said, but you can partake in the auction. The auction is open. They have a big silent auction. There is a live auction, but obviously I think you have to have tickets to be in person for that. The silent auction is online. You can go to walkwithsally.org/WLWN, as in White Light, White Night. So walkwithsally.org/WLWN. The auction is open, pops up right in front of you. All you have to do is register, put in your credit card, shop and browse, and bid. And you can even set, you know, your thresholds. If you really want that item, you can just keep on bidding. So that is tomorrow also. And there is one other super cool event that is a first for Manhattan Beach that I just love. It's the first ever poker run in Manhattan Beach, and our guest today is here to talk about that, tell us all about his business, growing up in the South Bay, and the first ever Mars Cars poker run tomorrow. So I won't give all the details. I'll let him do that, but it's a big weekend. I always say there is, and that's a family-friendly event tomorrow that we're going to hear about. That's a fundraiser, also another fundraiser, a fundraiser for the Manhattan Beach Education Foundation and also the Hermosa Beach Education Foundation. If you don't want to wait to hear it from our guests, you can go on to MarsCarsLLC.com/pokerrun. See the details if you're running off the podcast right now. But if you listen up or tune back in later, our guest today is going to tell us all about that and the world of neighborhood electric vehicles. So it's a big weekend in Manhattan Beach.
It's a big weekend. It's a big electric weekend.
Very, very electric. You're so funny. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Shall we introduce our guest?
Let's do it.
And get talking?
Let's do it.
Okay. Our guest today is Nick D'Avila. Nick grew up in Hermosa Beach, has been in the South Bay all his life, attended the local schools, MiraCosta, the whole nine yards. He's started a family here in Manhattan Beach as well as Mars Cars, LLC. It's located on Sepulveda, right next to Two Guns, the original Two Guns location. They sell, it's a dealership for neighborhood electric vehicles. Nick started his career years ago fixing cars in his garage. He's the CEO, founder of Rogue Racing. He founded that back in January of 2010. He opened his first Mars car location down in Huntington Beach in Orange County in January of 2017. And then last year, during the pandemic, he was one of those bold entrepreneurs that decided to open a new business, and he swept in when Big Walk vacated the space on Sepulveda and moved down the street. And he swept in and grabbed that space and redid it, cleaned it up, and opened Mars Car, his second location of Mars Cars here in Manhattan Beach. We welcome Nick to the show. We're so happy to have you here. We can't wait to learn more about the Poker Run, about Mars Cars, your life, and the current state of neighborhood electric vehicles. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning. Hi. Welcome. It's great to be here. Thank you.
So when you think about your – yeah, it's okay. When you think about your career and your company – what would you – how would you describe your company's beginning, middle, and we won't talk about the end yet, but let's talk about the beginning and the middle. What? How would you describe your company?
My company has kind of evolved over the last 25 years, and I started prepping race cars when I was 18 years old, and through wanting to learn more about that, everything's aircraft this, aircraft that. So I ended up going to aircraft school and getting my AMP license. So I'm a FAA licensed aircraft mechanic. right out of aircraft school, I started working for an engine controller manufacturer. And that's basically the brain of the engine. So we manufactured the circuit boards. We wrote the programs. I manufactured the wire harnesses, which like I made the spinal column to run these racing engines. So it was always electrical from day one. Mm-hmm. And, I worked there for about 10 years and, ended up going off on my own. And that's when I, you know, the customers from the ECU business kept calling and hey, can you wire this engine? Can you wire this engine? And so it evolved, and I spent my last $2,500 on materials and started wiring these engines out of my garage. And then next thing you know, I needed a real brick and mortar building. And so I went in on a building with my dad in Huntington Beach because it's halfway between our two. He lives in Laguna Beach. I live in Hermosa. And so Huntington is exactly 26 miles between the two of us. And that's how the business ended up in Huntington. But after 5 years ago, 2016, I work on these particular small engines called the Weber engines. And they're in a lot of high-end yacht tenders. And I'm the only guy west of the Mississippi that works on these things. And Weber called me and said, hey, we just got bought by Textron. You know these motors better than anybody. You need a dealership. And so within a day, Textron had people standing in my shop and said, okay, we'll give you the off-road program. We'll give you the Weber boat program, but you have to take EasyGo golf carts. And I'm looking around going, golf carts? What? Okay, we'll try it out. And it just took off. I mean, it wasn't until I brought my first one home to Hermosa and realized that, whoa, I can invent parking with this thing. Like I can go over to a friend's house and park next to their dumpster or kind of on their sidewalk, little weird piece of concrete that's not really a parking spot, but big enough for an NEV. And it just, so
okay.
Here we
explain
5 years later.
Explain those special terms that you use in your technical business. NEV. Explain that.
So there's two big ones. There's NEV and LSV. And the biggest distinction is an LSV is a low speed vehicle. An NEV is a neighborhood electric vehicle. So for example, GEM car, like the GEM cars we sell, those are low speed vehicles, which means they follow a 50 page manual on federal safety standards, crash tests, all kinds of what the windshield has to be made out, the exact material the windshield has to be made out of, the, you know, where the seat belts go over you, the braking load of the seat belts, the impact resistance of the cage, it has to withstand certain forces and stuff. So that would be an LS. Mm-hmm. That's a low speed vehicle. A neighborhood electric vehicle, according, is anything that comes from the factory with more than two seats is automatically not a golf cart. So it opens the door to this neighborhood electric vehicle category, which means you, the consumer, have bolted on the minimum required safety things like turn signals, seat belts, and they give you a light spec. It's basically one page and 13 or 14 requirements of what the car needs to have on it in order to be street legal. Mm-hmm. And it's basically it's crash test liability. An LSV is crash tested, an NEV is not. An LSV, the manufacturer's responsible for the car, and NEV, the consumer's responsible for the car. So,
okay.
But yet they're both taxed the same, fees are both the same. They have to follow the same rules. Anything 35 miles an hour and under is legal to drive when an NEV or LSV on. Sepulveda is legal to drive one of these cars on. Would I do it? It's a little scary sometimes out there having a business on the street and seeing what goes on a day-to-day basis out there is interesting, but down by the beach is mainly neighborhoods is the key word there, and beach parking, right. And that's the huge benefit to these things.
And cost. I mean, operating costs are minimal. This is going to be a huge win for so many different companies, small companies, delivery vehicles.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yes. The operating costs. I've had cars come in that were 10 years old that still had 3/4 of the brake pad left. I mean, they really, they cost in the dealership, I mean, we have a dealership. We're constantly plugging cars in, right? Letting them charge overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I think my electric bill is like $250 a month, which isn't that much on the big picture for an entire dealership. So
right.
we're also making, you know, we make some pretty cool custom stuff to where we're addressing the delivery scene. I'm working on something right now for a Postmates delivery box on an electric bike that we sell, that it's going to be big enough for a large pizza and maybe a couple other little things, but you know, you can't hear them. And so there's no loud motorcycles racing around the neighborhood. They have no emissions, and you just plug them into the wall. They take very, very little juice to operate.
Right. This is the beginning. The beginning of the electrification of transportation. It has to happen at the high end, like, you know, the Teslas of the world. And there are many different vehicles vying for that part of the market. But there's this other market at the NEV level that I think is very underestimated in terms of its economic viability. Obviously, dealers need to make money, but at its core, it's about making neighborhoods safer and quieter and not so smelly.
Yeah. Yeah, like you go over to Catalina, and Catalina has like 25,000 golf carts on the island or something crazy. And at the time, they were really putting gas because the electrical technology wasn't there. So there's 30-year-old gas golf carts over there. And it reminds me of the Autotopia ride at Disneyland, like all those gas engines just constantly, they're loud and they're noisy. And just the smell of it, you know, when you walk into that ride, you know, the smell, and you just know where you are. You'd be blindfolded and say, oh, I'm in Autopia, Disneyland. And that's kind of how Catalina was 5 years ago. It's getting better slowly. I keep putting a lot of electric cars over there. It's a huge market for us.
Yeah.
But just the lithium technology in the last 5 years has come light years. I mean, we've really made some major gains. And what that means is the lithium batteries, they're extremely lightweight and a lot of energy in a really small package. And so you're getting rid of these lead acid dinosaurs. Lead acid batteries have been around for, 100 years. I mean, it's almost like the professor with the coconuts on Gilligan's Island. That's how barbaric the technology is. And then now we're actually using batteries that have, that have computerized management systems built into them so they're all discharged evenly and they're charged evenly and they manage the cells. And if they don't like something going on internally, they shut down. But at least the computer tells us what's going on internally that they didn't like. So. There's just and just the range, because you're taking, on some of these carts that we do conversions to, we'll take 500 pounds of weight out of a 1200 pound golf cart, and that's huge as far as range is concerned, because you're not lugging around 500 pounds, and sometimes just that alone will almost double the range in a golf cart or in an EV. So
Wow. Wow. That's great. Now, I could ask you lots and lots of technical questions about NEVs and LSVs and all of that, but people are more interested in excitement. I mean, I'm looking at your website and there's some exciting things, including, I didn't really track with this, the electric vehicles from electric vehicles from Segway. Really exciting.
Yeah, Segway, we carry a few of Segway's line. They have a lot of scooters and the best seller for us from them is the electric dirt bikes. And that was the bike I was telling you about that we're making all kinds of parts for and accessories. That's what we're doing the DoorDash box for. We're building for that bike specifically, the X260, because the range is just amazing. The ride quality of the bike and just everything. It stops, it goes up all the hills. It's very comfortable to ride. In extended range, you can get like 70 miles out of it, which is perfect for a pizza delivery or just local kid running around town delivering food. I actually delivered pizza myself for a local pizza restaurant down in Hermosa when I was 16 years old until I was about 21, and it's good money and got me through school. And, but if you can do that so without using any no emissions or, it's
that's win-win. Amazing. So Nick, you're working with DoorDash, you said, to build some type of, food delivery box on the back of the motorbike that you're the Segway motorbike, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not working with DoorDash directly, but it's what one thing we had in mind for Postmates, DoorDash, whatever you know, fill in the blank there. Just even regular pizza delivery, but you know, you don't. Again, it's going to cut down on traffic, emissions, everything. So we're just doing that just out of necessity, and we think once that's done, it's going to take off because it just lowers the cost of everything.
Super cool. Nick, I have questions about. Okay, two things. First of all, with the batteries being, you know, the lithium batteries being different in the vehicles that you offer, and, you know, the technology obviously vastly improving over the last, let's just say, 5 years, how far can, you know, how long, how far can one of the vehicle, like let's just say a four passenger vehicle go. As you know, as people know, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, we have a lot of hills around here. People go up and down all the time. You know, I know traditionally that used to really drain the batteries too in some of the original versions of like the GEM card. So like, you know, an average four seater, how long is that going to run?
So it depends. It's a great question, and there's a lot of variables to it. Our entry level car, which is called an Islander, is a 48 volt car. It comes with lead acid batteries. The range on that in Manhattan Beach locally is going to be about 30 miles. Now we can take that same Islander and put our 5 kilowatt lithium battery pack in it, and we can bump the range to about 65 miles. That battery is going to take 500 pounds of weight out of that car. And it's going to bump the voltage up a little bit. And it also takes the maintenance out of it. So you don't have to add water to it every other month. You know, as you use these lead acid batteries, the batteries heat up, they cause evaporation. When you charge them, they heat up, they cause evaporation. Based on that usage, that's how often you should add distilled water to them to replace, you know, the electrolyte. So some of the other 8 kilowatt batteries, the larger batteries, I mean, it's not uncommon. GEM has an option with an 11 kilowatt battery that you can get 100 miles range out of a little four-seater, which is crazy. That technology was not there 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely wasn't. That's amazing. So if somebody spends a little extra to change the battery in the, you know, well, they can do it anytime, but like in the beginning, right, they're going to save a lot more in the long run. On the battery, they're going to maximize their, the travel time that they can use the vehicle. So a little upgrade is going to get you a lot of benefits, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. There's two benefits to doing it right at time of purchase of the cart. One is if we take the lead acid batteries out immediately, you're not going to have any battery acid in your engine, in your battery compartment and on the frame and on the wires. And that's the biggest thing. That's why you don't really see too many old lead acid battery golf carts hanging around, is because over time and over usage, the fumes and the acid from popping the caps and filling just destroys the frames and the acid. I mean, it's sulfuric acid. It eats everything. So you're not going to have any battery acid on the frame of your car, on the wiring, on your garage floor. So you're not going to have that mess that's associated with lead acid batteries. The second one is you can destroy a lead acid battery in a year and a half if you don't take care of them. They're very needy. A lithium battery, that 5 kilowatt lithium battery, in the instruction manual, it says, just charge me once a year or once every 8 months if you're not going to use the cart. And the warranty alone is 5 years, no questions asked, and they're very good about that. And you should get 10 to 12 years of battery, even if you don't use it. It doesn't matter. It's just it's a very robust package.
Wow. Okay. So why don't they just come that way then? Why do they even use the old style battery?
That's a great question. If I don't have to bring a lead acid battery in my shop ever again, I never would. The acid just kills the floors and it's dangerous. It burns holes in your clothes and your hands. It's nasty stuff. The biggest problem right now is supply and demand. I can't get any lithium batteries till November, December. I have a lot of them on order. I mean, the supply chain is really, it's not the best thing right now. So that's one. And even from the manufacturer's level, EZ-Go, they can't get enough batteries to supply the amount of cars they produce. They make more NEVs and LSVs than any other manufacturer in the world. They make more EZ-Go's than they do Club Car, Tomberlin, Gem Car. They're the leader, and they can't get enough batteries. And they've been doing it since 1953. They've actually built more electric cars than Tesla or Ford or any of the other brands combined, if you think about it.
$90,000
a year.
Yeah, we talk about this. The supply chain, you know, continues to be disrupted thanks to the ongoing pandemic. And I don't know when that's, you know, going to end, because even if the pandemic was to end next month, which it's not going to, it's that supply chain is like a delayed domino reaction. So I know, you know, we hear from you, we hear from, you know, other, like I know our friends at Manhattan Beach Toyota, you know, say the same thing. But even when you flip over to other businesses, you know, even clothing, even other things, I mean, the supply chain is just really messed up. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be that way for a long time. So, well, thank goodness for people like you who are so knowledgeable about these type of batteries. And I'm sure the minute you have all those batteries that you've ordered in, they're probably all going to be, used.
Vaporized.
You know, you have to order more. Okay, let's talk about safety.
I will say
Go ahead.
I will say one of the benefits that I see that of the supply chain being so bad is I've taken a lot of my international vendors off the table and created my own parts and started to use a lot of local machine shops and laser cutters. And I just basically said, I'm tired of waiting for parts from overseas. I'm going to make my own. It's a little more money, not much, but you know, they're domestically made, and it's just helping to get less reliant on other countries.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
That's my silver lining.
Right. Thank you for that, because there is a silver lining in all of this. We just have to sometimes look a little bit harder for it, but good for you for adapting like that. Okay, before we talk about the Polka Run this weekend, let's talk safety.
Yeah.
That's always something that's of utmost importance, you know, well, hopefully to people. Safety of the vehicles, but then also safety in like the motorcycle that, you know, that you've talked about, the delivery, you know, and other things. In Manhattan Beach, everywhere, you know, we always hear the bicycles, kids are riding them on the sidewalks and the wrong side of the street, and, you know, people, they're going fast without helmets on, and there's adults that do it too. You know, but
yeah,
it's crazy. So let's talk safety. How safe are the vehicles? Okay. And hey, we were all kids once, so we didn't have electric vehicles when we were kids, but we had other things. So, how safe are the vehicles? You know, obviously, if you wear the seatbelt, there's more safety involved. And then we'll flip over to, like, the smaller, like the motorbikes and scooters and all that, too. So talk about the safety in, you know, the vehicles.
So the highest, safest car on that safety chain pyramid there, let's start with the LSVs. So the LSVs are crash tested. They do their part. As far as, I like to think of it as a giant hamster ball you're driving around strapped to the inside of, to where if there is an impact and you're strapped into it, you're going to go flying in this hamster ball, and the bodily harm is going to be minimal. There was some federal studies that were done on low speed vehicles that helped determine the speed of what actually low speed should be. And that's how 25 came about, because at 35, and it was even 42 was even one of the numbers on the table, but at 42 miles an hour and at 35 miles an hour, the ability to be injured and impacts at those speeds was a lot greater than at the 25 mile an hour limited speed. So there was something like, I don't, off the top of my hand, like 50% less injuries 25 miles an hour versus the other two speed limits or variations of. And I think that is kind of the magic number that helps the NEVs as well, because at 25 miles an hour, you're not going to be driving on, or consciously you're not going to be driving on, although it is legal, like a busy street like Sepulveda at 4 p.m. There's no way I would drive a golf cart, because there's just way too many cars that are going way too fast, and you'd probably get run over. Mm-hmm. But, you know, driving up 2nd Street at the 400 block in Manhattan, there's, you know, at 4 p.m, there's nobody on it. You're going to be doing 25 miles an hour. So that's why they kind of push the neighborhood electric vehicle thing, is that you're not out driving on the highway becoming a statistic of high speed, high impact crashes. You're only doing 25 a block away from your house, you know? So, and they're only going to be as safe as the person behind the wheel. Like, we had the chief of Seal Beach police. And then there's this local Seal Beach golf cart club, and they asked me to speak along with the chief of police, and the chief of police in Seal Beach, not Manhattan, basically said, on the NEV thing, on the golf cart thing, we don't even care if they're registered. Just stop drinking and driving, and don't let your 12-year-old kids drive them, and we don't even care. It's basically what the Seal Beach police said in front of 300 people. So I think I think you need a driver. I know you need a driver's license, but I think that's the better way to go, is you have to have a driver's license to drive these things. And don't drink and drive. And I think they'll be fine. Now, when it comes to the electric bikes, that was what I was referring to, is way out of control. I mean, we've all seen 3 or 4 kids stacked on an electric bike with no helmets doing 35 miles an hour down Ardmore, or, you know, and blowing through stop signs. And I'm just terrified that those are hopefully not going to be my kids someday. But I think it starts at home. We need to teach our kids that, hey, this isn't cool, or, hey, you have to stop at stop signs, you know, because they have something that we didn't have growing up. Like, there wasn't electric bikes when we were growing up. We had to pedal. And, you know, it's it's something that needs to be addressed. Taught at the school level. Oh.
Right. That would be remarkable. So I'm curious, Nick, with the bikes, electric bikes, what is actually do you know the law? Like, I know, do they have to follow normal bicycle rules, like they should be riding,
yes,
you know, like in the bike lane side of the street. They can't, they should not be riding on sidewalks. But then when we enter into the electric, you know, then they're going 30 miles an hour, whether it's in the street or on the sidewalk, God forbid. But I've seen, you know, kids doing it on the sidewalk in the reverse direction, and it's just a disaster waiting to happen,
well,
you know. And they're not wearing helmets, too. So what is
that law?
That brings up
an interesting point. Is a Class 2 electric bike and all of the electric bikes that are sold locally are legally only supposed to do 22 or 26 miles an hour, I think, if I remember correctly. So, again, there's your low speed. What the manufacturers are doing, and not even the manufacturers, it's the aftermarket as well. It is incredibly easy to take one of these bicycles that does 22 miles an hour and make it do 70 or 80 miles an hour. Like, incredibly easy. You just buy, I mean, for $600, you buy a new controller, and there's no limits on there. There's no federal regulations on that controller because you just bought a controller. What you do with it is your own kind of deal.
Yeah.
So to put it on your, you know, and these kids, they're smart. Like, I'm scared. My kids are way smarter than I am. They're going to be dangerous someday. But, you know, these kids are smart. They get stuff online, and, you know, they can juice up their electric bike that was only meant to go 22 miles an hour, and I'll see them doing, you know, like I said, 40 miles an hour down Ardmore with it. And I don't know that I would clamp down on the regulation, but I think it's important for the parents to know that, hey, my son just bought a new controller for his electric bike and now it does 60. Maybe I should teach him that running stop signs isn't cool. You know, we want them around a little longer.
Yeah, because they don't have to have a driver's license to ride an electric bike. But yet, if you're riding a moped, then you have to have one, right? Am I right on that? I don't know.
I think you have to have a learner's permit.
Okay.
I think you can ride a moped with a learner's permit.
Oh,
so
man,
15, I think
just,
you can ride a moped.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay,
something I need.
Yeah,
but there's all kinds of electric bike laws and classes, like class 1, class 2, class 3 electric bikes, and you can look it up online. I don't have that information in front of me right now, but a class 2 electric bike is the most common one that everybody buys. And that's the one that and that's the one that can go anywhere, and legally it is allowed to be on the Strand, you know. Now each city can write ordinances around it, but I think Newport Beach banned them from their space, but
interesting. I think with Manhattan Beach did too, but you can click into pedal gear, not just electric gear, you know, when you're cruising through, like, let's just say you're riding from Hermosa to El Segundo, you know, through Manhattan Beach, you just can't go.
Yeah,
I'm not sure the speed limit on the Strand. I don't want to be misquoted, but I know you're not supposed to be in electric mode. Yeah, you're not supposed to be in electric mode. You're supposed to be in pedal mode. Let's just say that when you're going through, you know, the city. But I know one of my favorite stories, not so favorite, you know, good, bad, is I was, you know, coming out of my office, cruising home peacefully, watching the sunset on Manhattan Avenue. I like to take that route sometimes just so I can get a last glimpse of the ocean. And there's this kid just flying wrong side of the street on the sidewalk, going so fast, no helmet on, and literally past every garage, every walk street as they come down there, you know, towards the ocean. And he was going so fast that I couldn't catch up with him in a safe mix. I was going to be like, hey, like, and I don't usually do that, but it was such a train wreck waiting to happen, you know? And I'm like, gosh, if one person pulls out of their garage, if one person walks down the walk street, especially that people like kind of roll down the walk streets at that point because there's the hills, I'm like, someone's going to plow into each other, you know? And I was literally just going to go, hey, just trying to get him off guard to slow him down. And I couldn't, I was speeding up, and it wasn't even safe for me because I was on Manhattan Avenue. There was other cars and things going on. 32 miles an hour. I finally got up to him. It took me to get 32 miles an hour to get to him. And I'm like, I don't even go 32 miles an hour in a vehicle on Manhattan Avenue. You know, it was just so sad. So,
yeah.
You know, you
and
know,
this,
I,
is,
I,
this
I bet,
is not an uncommon occurrence.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you in a couple, you know, years, there's going to be even more regulations on these things. But okay, let's switch to something fun.
Yeah.
And something talking about kids. There's our transition, talking about kids, and maybe once these kids go back into school, we'll have less kids riding down the sidewalk at 32 miles an hour. Let's talk about your poker run tomorrow and raising money for the Hermosa Beach Education Foundation as well as the Manhattan Beach Education Foundation. Tell us about the poker run, what it is, how you do it, and why. You're doing it. Okay.
So the biggest thing I'd like to squash right now is I've had a lot of friends that have never heard of a poker run before call me and say, hey, you know, I really don't play poker. So, you know, how do I still participate if I don't play poker? Because a lot of people think that a poker run is just sitting around playing poker. And it's really not. It's like a scavenger hunt, where you go to five locations around the South Bay, and I'll give you a couple of hints. They're all very close to the beach. So the whole route is basically right down Manhattan Avenue, Hermosa Avenue, Catalina, right, just right as close to the beach as you can physically drive. And you go to five different locations, and they give you a card at each location. Then at 1 o'clock, when you go to the after party, that's where you play your five cards that you had. And the best we have prizes for the best hand, the worst hand, and second and third place, as well as all kinds of raffle prizes. And the sponsors were really generous in their donations for product, and everybody who is a sponsor wrote a check to both education foundations as well. That was kind of a stipulation of being a sponsor. So it gives people a use or something to do with their golf cart and not just go to dinner or, you know, take the kids to school. It's something that could actually be really fun. I've done the whole course like three times, and it's kind of a fun little drive that we've created. So it's going to be a great time.
I love it. Now,
all right.
Do people have to have an electric vehicle or electric cart, I should say, to play along?
It's encouraged, but you know, at the end of the day, it benefits both schools, so it's not really one of those hard-pressed rules. I mean, you could do it in your Tesla, or you could do it in a regular car, or you could do it on a bicycle. I mean, I will say it is about 18 miles, the whole thing, round trip. So on a bicycle, you're going to be pretty exhausted and looking forward to one of those tacos at the end. We have a lot of the major manufacturers involved. We have GemCar hosting a stop. We have EasyGo hosting a stop. We have Gorilla, which is a Danish made car, hosting a stop. And we have JBL Audio and Dive and Surf hosting a spot. And they all have their own giveaway prizes as well too. So it's not just going to be a great event.
It is going to be fun. And I think you might have just given away a little clue. Dive and Surf is hosting a spot. And I was listening. And they're very close on that route. So maybe Dive and Surf is a location.
I love it.
Now,
technically,
okay. But it's 18 miles round trip. That wouldn't be so difficult on an electric bike. So, it'd be great if
you don't
pedal and get some exercise.
Yeah, the fun thing about it, too, is you don't have to go to any of those stops in any particular order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then do they start at your location on Sepulveda at Mars Car? So they have to pick up something there or?
Yeah, registration. Yeah, you have to pick up your map and your card that allows you to play your hand on. It's like you have to, like, one map is basically one play. Does that make sense? So your hand is played on that map. And so if you're going to be, if there's four people in a car and you want four hands, then you get four maps, and that's what you play at each location.
Okay. And do people pick those up tomorrow morning, or if they've registered 3 days ago, do they already have it?
Nobody has them yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They pick them up the morning of the event, and that's when we're collecting for the schools. Mm-hmm. And that's just a pass through. A lot of the sponsors have really come through huge with covering the band and all the waters and sodas and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. El Gringo came through huge. They're catering this whole thing, making sure everybody's fed and happy.
Mm-hmm. And people can get a cup of coffee at Two Guns before they head out. Since they're your neighbor in the parking lot, right? Get a little flat white to go.
Stan, I'm like, that's what I told Stan. I'm like, hey, have some tables set up in the parking lot because there's going to be a few people here tomorrow. Like, we don't want the line too far out the door.
Right.
So, like it is every morning.
I know. But, you know, I've told you that my favorite app on the planet is the Two Guns Espresso app. I order in advance, and it's almost usually ready when I get there. Okay, enough about that. This sounds super fun. Joe, we've got 4 minutes. Closing thoughts and to wrap it up.
Well, first of all, it sounds like an amazing...
I do have a parking idea. I don't know if you guys want to hear about it.
Sure,
please.
If the city of Hermosa or the city of Manhattan had LSV stickers or NEV stickers, and they sold the stickers to local residents for $60, $300, whatever the price is, unimportant. But by having that sticker, you as the LSV owner know the rules involved with that sticker, to where you can pull into a parking spot and you have to leave room for two more LSVs, but that one's parking spot becomes an LSV parking spot. So there's room to park two more of these cars. So what that does is gets way more people to the downtown area without congesting all the parking and or the beach. You know, you live east of PCH, you can go down to the beach, just look for an LSV spot, and there you go. Because if you're a non-local, you're not going to be driving in from Riverside in your LSV. And, you know, that's one of the benefits. Us being the locals, you know, we pay the property taxes here. We should be able to enjoy our community. And
Well said. We pay the taxes. We should be able to enjoy our community. Well said. And I like that idea.
We're
going to have a little we need to talk with the city. We're going to have a little. I'm going to set you up. We're going to have a little conversation with our traffic engineer and some other people. Okay. Now, Nick, we're just asking for a little velvet road trip.
Velvet rope tree.
I love it. Maybe tomorrow at our ribbon cutting at 1 p.m. when the mayor is there, we can have that conversation. Because we are doing a ribbon cutting at 1 p.m. Okay, we have about 45 seconds. Let's get some where people can find you, your contact information, URL, how people get last-minute registration for the poker run. Ready, go.
Yeah, we're at 250 North Sepulveda tomorrow morning, about 9:30. Poker Run's going to start about 10. That's when the stops are going to be open. 10 to 12:30, you need to start heading back to the shop to be back at the shop by 1. And the whole route, if you just tie a route, the whole route should take you about an hour to do. So it's you have 3 hours to do a one-hour route. So there's some dilly-dally time in that window, or dilly dally cushion, if you will. So,
and
it should be a great time.
Fantastic.
Okay, Joe. Mm-hmm.
So,
it's what a wonderful beach, you know, sort of business. What a wonderful business to be in the South Bay, servicing the South Bay, providing transportation options that are South Bay specific. Great job, Nick. This is awesome.
It's we service cars from San Clemente to Malibu. If they all have the
right.
beach community. So if it's one thing growing up in the South Bay has taught me, it's how to do beach well.
Right.
I got the beach covered.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show. I know lots of people are going to enjoy it. The beach run, the poker run
yeah.
is going to be fabulous.
Thanks for having me.
MarsCarsLLC.com. MarsCarsLLC.com.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Nick, for
yep.
Joining us today.
Yeah, thank you
and
for having me.
Thank you. And Kelly, it was a great show. We'll have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Nick, for spending time. I told you it would go fast. See, we're out of time. And I wish it zooms by. I really enjoyed the technical information, too. Even though I'm not a tech or a mechanic, I enjoyed listening to the difference between LSV, you know, NEV, all the different things. So thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Go out and have some fun this weekend.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. See everyone. Mm-hmm.